Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, wherever you are and wherever you are listening. Hope that your Thursday is getting off to a great start. And as I mentioned several times so far this season, it's always a lot more fun doing these shows following a very convincing Grizzlies victory versus an unfortunate loss. And thankfully, we had that once again last night as the Grizzlies, in their opening game of a 40-game and 68-day stretch, the opening game of their second half of the season, they earn a 127-112 victory over the Washington Wizards in the FedEx Forum. A very convincing victory in some ways that we have not been used to seeing. We'll get into that here in the first segment. In the second segment and the third segment, I'm going to talk about some other things from the Grizzlies' first half compared to where we were a year ago. A year ago today is the day when the NBA became the first sports league that suspended its season due to the COVID-19 virus. And obviously a year later, obviously back then, a year ago, none of us had any idea just how catastrophic, just how significant or how long we would be without sports when the NBA canceled its season. But from a year ago in the second and third segment, I'm going to discuss how where the Grizzlies were in certain statistical aspects a year ago and compare them then to where they were from the first half now, and see some areas where the Grizzlies have progressed to give them some things they can rely on going into the second half of the season. Of course, you can find the show at Locked On Grizzlies, myself at StatsSAC, the podcast wherever podcasts are available, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you choose to listen to your podcast, we will be there. And we ask that you listen, review, subscribe, let us know what you think. We always want to make sure that we're delivering content that is relevant to our listeners' preferences. Today's episode is brought to you by my Michelob Ultra. Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? And only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned to the Ultra Player of the Week coming up later in this episode. So the crazy thing about last night's game that the Grizzlies played against the Wizards is that the Grizzlies actually did not play to their best. They struggled at times during the game, especially when it came to their efficiency. They only made 8 threes on 23 three-point attempts. They were 19 of 29 from the line. They shot less than 70% from the line, though getting to the line 29 times was a big deal. Actually, Ja Morant became, for the first time in his career, got to the line got to the line 10 times, and he's done it for 3 straight games. He only had gotten to the line 10 or more times in one previous game this season. And the big thing about it is that this goes to show, this is another sign of just how special Ja Morant is. He's only the third Grizzlies player who has gotten to the free throw line in 3 or more straight games, 10 or more times in 3 or more straight games, joining Pau Gasol and Zach Randolph. That shows the scoring ability that Ja Morant has and how rare it's been in the history of the Grizzlies franchise. So Ja Morant finally starting, hopefully, to get some of the respect he deserves that he's talked about, at points during this season. That was a good sign to see. But 29 times through the free throw line was certainly a good development for the Grizzlies. But back to some of the struggles, 8 three-pointers, 16 turnovers, and 26 personal fouls. All of those, that certainly, the 8 three-pointers was about 3 threes below their season average, whereas they had 7 more fouls than they usually average per game, and about 3 more turnovers. So there was some struggles there for the Grizzlies as they were coming back from the All-Star break. But the thing about it is that when the Grizzlies struggle, we're now starting to see that they are good enough at the things that they do well to even overcome a game in which they're not playing their best to win. 78 points in the paint, 31 assists, and the Grizzly starters, each contributed in their own way to allow for the Grizzlies to win the game. Ja Morant, 21 points, 10 assists, 6 rebounds. Not only consistently showing that he can score 20 points a night now that he seems to be back to health and has got some rest, but he's starting to consistently get 8 to 10 assists tonight, as well as 4, 6, 7 rebounds. He's starting to contribute more across the board for the Grizzlies on a consistent basis, which certainly is a good development. Kyle Anderson, he did not score that much last night. 5 points and 5 rebounds, though, again contributing in his own way to allow for himself to be able to add value. Desmond Bane, 20 points on 5 threes. Really showing, again, we have talked about it. Even though, in my opinion, and many others it seems, DeAnthony Melton should be getting the most minutes of any two guard that's in the Grizzlies rotation, Taylor Jenkins has his preferences to play a shooter next to Ja Morant, but it typically works out well for the Grizzlies, and last night, once again, it did. Desmond Bane, 5 threes and 20 points, career high in points for Desmond Bane, really adding another element to the Grizzlies' offense to allow for them to be able to shoot. Though the Grizzlies only made 8 threes, seeing 5 of them come from their rookie sniper was an excellent sight to see. But the two big storylines of the night for me were Jonas Valanciunas and Dylan Brooks. Jonas Valanciunas, 29 points and 20 rebounds on the night for the Grizzlies. Again, another double-double, and just to another level that we have not consistently seen in a while. I mean, just a 25-point, 15-rebound night, 25-point, 20-rebound night. Jonas Valanciunas is one of only three Grizzlies who have had three or more games in which they've had 25 points and 20 rebounds in the history of the franchise. We talk about Ja being able to score or being a talent that we've not seen before in the history of the Grizzlies franchise. We talk about Jaren being someone we haven't seen as far as a shooting talent goes. Well, really, when it comes to Jonas Valanciunas, there's not been a player who can dominate the paint in terms of rebounds and in terms of point from the post position like Jonas can. The only other person that we could think of that can do it like that is Zach Randolph. Yes, Pau Gasol could do it at times too, but neither Pau nor Zach Randolph did it at the frequency that Jonas Valanciunas does, and it really does add a nice element to the Grizzlies' offense that allows for it to have a bit of consistency, especially with how Jonas has played over the past month. But the other big development from last night that really, really was encouraging, to me, that really is showing this Grizzlies team is continuing to take the next step as far as becoming competitive to the point that it legitimately has a shot at getting in the play-in game, at gaining the opportunity to make the playoffs, which this team desperately wants to do, was the defensive effort that was there last night, and it started with Dylan Brooks. Last night, Dylan Brooks was 4 of 7 from the field. It had been more than a year. It was February 20th of 2020. That was the last time that Dylan Brooks had a game in which he attempted 7 or less shots in a game. So it's been more than a year since Dylan Brooks has attempted 7 or less shots in a game, yet he led the team in the plus-minus category of a plus 22. The reason why is because of the energy and the effectiveness that he showed on defense. He's pissing people off out there. We've seen it over the past few months. He's pissed off LeBron James at times. He's now pissed off Bradley Beal, though there's a respect angle there. It's part of his game. Bradley Beal said it after the last game with the Wizards on March 2nd. He definitely, he respected Dylan Brooks' ability to play defense. Now, Dylan Brooks may not be the most, he may not be the best defender in the league, but with his energy, the fact that he's physical, the fact that he's consistently getting into or talking or just, constantly doing activity around the guy that he's guarding, that's something that the entire Grizzlies roster is beginning to do as well. We know they've done it all season, but they're doing it more effectively. And what that's allowed for them to do, we've talked about, and we'll talk about here in a second in more detail, they're number one in the league when it comes to creating turnovers. But they also finished the first half as the 8th-ranked team in defensive rating. The reason why they are in the top 10 of defensive rating is because they're balancing their ability to create turnovers and be optimistic with their ability to stay disciplined, not foul, challenge shots, and make it hard for defenses to get in rhythm. The more consistently that the Grizzlies are able to balance those two things, being opportunistic and being disciplined, the better their chances are going to win. And it shows last night, in a game in which they only made 8 threes, had 16 turnovers, and 26 personal fouls, they still were able to find a way to win. 78 points in the paint certainly helps. And the Grizzlies are now 15-5 when they shoot under 25 threes in a game under Taylor Jenkins. That's because of the fact that they, when they know that they've got the ability to score in the paint at will, they're going to stay consistent with it. But the fact that the Grizzlies are relying on their identities, both on defense and offense now, to the point that they can overcome playing uncharacteristically bad in several statistical categories, that is a very good sign for this young team that it can win even when it's not playing at its best. And last night was a great example of that. But the one thing I could tell you is this, is that there are areas where the Grizzlies not only have improved, but they also are really elite when it comes to the rest of the league. While there are some other areas where the Grizzlies are still a work in progress when it comes to how they overall are evolving under Taylor Jenkins. Coming up, I'm going to discuss how when we look back a year ago, where the Grizzlies were in a few significant statistical areas versus now, to show where they're progressing, where there may be a bit of progression, and where there may be a bit stagnant, but overall, how they are improving due to Taylor Jenkins' guidance. One of the players I can tell you that certainly is evolving and improving under Taylor Jenkins' guidance is Jonas Valanciunas. And Jonas is actually our Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. Last night, 29 points and 20 rebounds on the night. I mean, just an impressive performance. And the thing about it is this, is that Jonas Valanciunas is just consistently doing this. Over 80 double-doubles in less than 120 games played for the Grizzlies in his time in Memphis. And the reason why he's our Michelob Ultra Player of the Week is because last night I actually asked him, what has changed? What adjustments has he made from the first of the season when he struggled to now that has made him so consistently productive when he's in the game? And the first thing that he said is he complimented his teammates and said it's because the guys that he plays with are a family. He credited the teammate support to him that has allowed for him to be able to consistently play his game and have fun. And that's what it is. All these guys, as we've discussed in the previous episodes where we've named the Michelob Ultra Player of the Week, they all say the same thing. It's the fun that they have playing with the guys that they're around. It's the joy that is brought to them from playing in what they consider to be a family. It makes everybody happy. It makes the whole team enjoy happiness and have enjoyment in playing with each other. And so the more you see the Grizzlies players say the exact same thing, that should validate how true it is. These guys truly have joy playing with each other because it brings each of them happiness that their teammates are exceeding more than their own selves, and that allows for everybody to play with enjoyment. And the big thing about it is this, is that when it comes to the Grizzlies, you can honestly answer this question. Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? The Grizzlies win because they're happy of the roster that they play with and the coach that they play for, instead of having to rely on winning to provide them happiness. They have happiness no matter what, and it shines through on a consistent basis as it did last night. And I can tell you this as a Grizzlies fan, one thing that can make you enjoy your fandom experience for the Grizzlies more and make you happy is enjoying the game with a nice glass of Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it, and it certainly would be worth it because I can say for a fact you would enjoy a glass of Michelob Ultra. 2.6 carbs and only 95 calories. Joy creates success. Enjoyment isn't the end game, it's the whole game. And if you're a Grizzlies fan watching this Grizzlies team, you know that no matter what, they all enjoy playing with each other on a consistent basis. Enjoy a Michelob Ultra the next time you're able to watch a Grizzlies game and make it a better experience for you as a fan. The spring is right around the corner, and with new leagues adapting to new schedules because of all that's been going on, this spring is more action-packed than it normally is, and it will last longer than it normally does as far as you being a fan goes. So that means you have plenty of options to enjoy, regardless of the teams that you cheer for or the athletes that you love. But I can tell you this, if part of your fandom is wagering and betting on sports, I've got the one place that has you covered and the one place that has you trust, that you can trust, and that's BetOnline.ag. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Again, head to the website or use your mobile device and use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's the promo code LOCKEDON to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Betting on the Grizzlies doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag wherever you get your podcasts. So I wanted to repeat a few announcements from yesterday, some new exciting things that we've got going on here at the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. We're going to have a bonus episode, comes out a little bit later on this morning, in which I'm going to be joined by Locked On Grizzlies co-host and head of the Locked On NBA Podcast Network, Nick Angstadt, will be with us discussing different opportunities around the Southwest Division when it comes to the teams in the Southwest Division for many different reasons, and especially with some news that came out yesterday regarding the LaMarcus Aldridge. We will actually look into how the second half of the season for the Pelicans, Grizzlies, Mavericks, Spurs, and Rockets, how the second half of this season is really critical to the near-term future and long-term future of all these franchises. So make sure to check that one out, looking at the Southwest Division forecast for the second half of the season. And then, of course, tonight, as I had mentioned yesterday, a really new opportunity, a new version of the Locked On Grizzlies experience via the Locker Room app, which is a social media, social audio app that allows for fans to basically, you download the app, you join, and you can go into many various rooms under many various different sports subjects, and you can talk with fans, get to know other fans who share the same passions as you do, network, learn new things. However you want to enjoy it, it certainly is there. Well, tonight, starting at 8, I'm going to be hosting a nightly episode each week. Right now on Thursday nights at 8, that's subject to change due to games and other things, but I'll be hosting a nightly episode for 45 minutes to an hour or so in which we discuss all things Grizzlies. Come talk with me and many others. From time to time, I'll have different folks from the Memphis media as well as other folks who cover basketball and the Grizzlies. We're going to have a lot of fun interaction and conversation, just an opportunity for folks who share similar passions when it comes to the Grizzlies to get together, get to know new folks perhaps, but more than anything, just get to have fun talking about the sport and team that we love. So make sure to check that out tonight at 8 via the Locker Room app. Download it wherever you have your iOS system when it comes to either your Apple phones, iPads, things such as that. Hopefully in time, we will have the opportunity to extend it past iOS users, but for right now, that's the route to go in order to join. So hope to see you there tonight. But when it comes to the Grizzlies, obviously we discussed that last night was a great way for them to start their second half to the season. Even though they struggled, even though they were uncharacteristic in several of the areas that they typically use as ways to win games, they still were able to win a game last night. But that's the thing about this Grizzlies team, is that in the first half of this season, we've started to see some more validation of the identity of identities that define this team, while also seeing some new strengths that have emerged, but also other areas that really are, you know, integral to this team taking the next step as a franchise. So coming in to, you know, Taylor Jenkins last year, when he took over the job at the start of the 2019-2020 season, you know, it immediately became clear of a few identities and strengths for this team on offense. It was scoring in the paint, it was passing, and it was, you know, getting out on the run. Well, nothing's changed. As a matter of fact, it's become even more clear that that's where the Grizzlies, where the Grizzlies' bread is buttered. It's through those three avenues where their offense really shines. At the time that the season was suspended a year ago due to COVID-19, here's where the Grizzlies ranked in some statistical categories directly related to these strengths. Last year, in assists per game up through March 11th, they were second in the league with 27 assists per game, first in the league with 56.3 points in the paint per game, and they were fourth in the league with 17.9 fast break points per game. So they were second in assists, first in points in the paint, and fourth in fast break points per game. This year, here are their rankings. They're fifth in assists per game right now, first in points in the paint, and second in fast break points per game. They clearly are. This is where this Grizzlies team is elite. It's producing in the paint, passing, as well as on the break. And that's the thing about it, is that the reason why the Grizzlies are so good at these specific areas is because it meets the strengths of their individual players. So many of the Grizzlies players are able to finish at the rim. So many of the Grizzlies players are able to pass consistently and effectively to get open shots. And obviously, we have many pushers and finishers that can really do some damage on the run when it comes to us being in transition. So the thing about it is this, is that that's actually on both Taylor Jenkins and the roster. It's on Taylor Jenkins for immediately identifying the style of play that would feature the strengths of our players. And it's also on the roster for being committed to what works, being consistently committed to ways that will give them a competitive advantage, and it shows in games like last night, as because of these reasons, 31 assists, They had 10 more points when it came to, you know, they had 10 more fast break points than the Wizards. And obviously, they were 2 points shy of tying their career, the franchise high in points in the paint. Playing to their strengths is what allowed for them to win last night's game. But another big key to this Grizzlies team, and somewhere where they struggled a bit as far as last night goes, but where they are really starting to be elite in another area, especially when it comes to defense, is through creating a turnover advantage, gaining extra possessions. There's a strong correlation this season for the Grizzlies that when they have significantly more shots in a game, they typically are going to win. And that is what allows for them to overcome the fact that they're not one of the best shooting teams in the league. Typically, when the Grizzlies are playing a game, you're likely going to see their opponent have more success for them that have more success than them from three. But the key is that the Grizzlies are able to make that up by having extra possessions per game that allow for them to make more shots. And the reason why that is because there's no team that's more opportunistic in the league than the Grizzlies. And it's been a big, big improvement from last year. At this point last year, the Grizzlies were 23rd in how many turnovers per game they committed, 13th in how many turnovers a game they forced, and also when it comes to points off turnovers, they were 13th in the league as well, and 12th in the league when it comes to steals. This year, 11th in the league when it comes to how many turnovers they commit per game. But here's the big key. Here is where the Grizzlies have taken a step forward as far as where they are, taking a competitive step forward and showing their progression under Taylor Jenkins. The Grizzlies are first in the league so far this year in turnovers caused per game, first in the league in steals, tied for first in deflections, and first in points off of turnovers. There is no better team at utilizing the turnover game than the Grizzlies right now in the NBA. That's a strength of theirs, that's where they're elite, and that's where they're making their difference in order to win games, despite having been without several of their best talents over long stretches. But another big key to this, and I mentioned it at the first of the season, limiting mistakes was going to be a key for the Grizzlies. Improving from 23rd in the league in turnovers per game to 11th is one way to do it, but another big key is improving from 17th in the league a year ago when it comes to fouls committed per game to now committing two less fouls per game and being 7th in the league in committing fouls per game. So not only are the Grizzlies creating extra possessions through turnovers, they're also limiting. They're allowing fewer opportunities for their opponents to be able to shoot the ball from the free throw line, and that also is helping them win. So when it comes to what the Grizzlies do well, it's the strengths that we already knew of. Production in the paint, passing, and getting out on the run. But it's the new strengths that are emerging that's really defining this defense that is allowing for them to be the most opportunistic defense in the league. And as Taylor Jenkins, the roster, and those who cover the team all have mentioned, this Grizzlies team is at its best, and when it's allowing and when it's using its defense to create offense. Well, it's pretty hard to argue against the fact that the Grizzlies right now are actually doing that better than any team in the NBA, and that's a big reason why they are still in the playoff race and why there truly is the feeling that there is a better case this year that they really can make some noise in that pursuit of the playoffs than they did last year. However, it's not all roses. There still are areas where the Grizzlies certainly need to improve. Coming up, I'll look at that. I'll look at those areas specifically, and I'll explain why those areas are actually the obstacle that the Grizzlies must overcome to truly take that next step towards being a sustainable winner that the coaching staff and roster wants to take as soon as possible. Spring's right around the corner, and that probably means that more activities are going to start happening outside, which means that if you're a parent or someone that does things, you know, outside or wherever you may do things away from home on a regular basis, you're probably going to be traveling more. And hopefully, your car has certainly made it through the crazy weather that we've seen across many places in the U.S. and the world over the past few months. But if your car does need a bit of repairs and some new parts are needed, I've got the place for you to go, and that's rockauto.com. RockAuto.com is a great source to use. Number one, within a few clicks of the button, it's very easy for you to find what you need. Number one, because it's easy to use, but also because regardless of the make and model, regardless of the part that you need, RockAuto.com is likely to have it. And if you're someone that needs others to do your repairs, you can do your own repairs, or you do repairs for others for a living, regardless of your experience level, RockAuto.com is a great source because it's economically feasible. This company has been in place for over 20 years. It's a family-owned business. They know that car repairs typically do fall out of budget, so they try to make prices as friendly as possible. If you go to RockAuto.com, let them know that the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. RockAuto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts that you will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com today. So obviously you heard us talk about yesterday when it comes to the Built Bar March Madness matchups that are going on right now. A great opportunity for you to enjoy the product that we've been discussing now for nearly a year. The protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. A great addition to your day. Have it in the morning for breakfast or in the afternoon as a snack. It's a great way for you to be able to add a health benefit to your day. Well, when it comes to it, it actually is time for you to be able to choose the best flavor. Typically, there are 18 different flavors for you to choose from at BuiltBar.com. Some new ones as well as some ones that have been around there. But Built Bar itself is the amazing low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, amazing-tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. But with March Madness right around the corner, they wanted to do a little bit of March Madness fun of their own. And so Built Bar is having a tournament in which they're determining what flavor actually is ultimately the best overall. Where today, if you go to BuiltBar.com, if you either go to BuiltBar.com or you go to @Built_bar on Twitter, you actually can vote in the newest matchups in the Built Bar March Madness tournament. German chocolate versus salted caramel and Mocha Love versus WC birthday cake. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. When it comes to these matchups, it's not going to matter because in the next matchup, one of them is going to wind up facing Cookie Dough Chunk, which in my opinion is going to win it all. However, between those flavors that I mentioned, go and enjoy voting for the flavor, as well as go to BuiltBar.com and remember to use the promo code LOCKEDON20. That's LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order. That is LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com, and check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar this March. Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs. How much do you really know about these potential NBA stars of tomorrow? Well, if you want to know more, you need to subscribe to the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast. Prospect scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage of March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today and follow the Locked On NBA Podcast. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies Podcast. So we discussed, when it comes to the Grizzlies, you know, how they really have, number one, validated the offensive strengths that they showed to have, you know, last year, you know, a year later, but how this year they've shown new strengths, especially on defense. So the Grizzlies have their go-to ways to play successful basketball on both ends of the court. But the thing is that though these ways of playing certainly are leading to success for the Grizzlies, there still are steps that need to be taken for this Grizzlies team to truly be the playoff contender that it wants to be and ultimately the sustainable winner and hopeful title contender in time. And where that starts is production from the perimeter. As I mentioned to start the year, three areas where the Grizzlies were going to need to show significant improvement for them to really take that next step forward was limiting mistakes, which we showed last segment that they've definitely done, but it's also shooting and defending the three. While there has been a bit of progression, overall, the Grizzlies have kind of remained stagnant when it comes to their ability to shoot the three, and that's fine. They still are far away from being close to the finished product that they'll need to be a sustainable winner and contender. That it's not necessarily a concern that the Grizzlies have not significantly improved in this area. It's just a reminder that it's going to be hard for this Grizzlies team to take that next legitimate step towards contention until they get better on the perimeter. Just like this time last year, the Grizzlies remain in the bottom third of the league when it comes to shooting threes as well as defending the three-pointer. Last year, the Grizzlies made 10.9 three-pointers per game. This year so far, they're making 10.8 in terms of the first half of the season. They were 23rd in the league last year in three-pointers per game, 26th this year. In three-point field goal percentage both last year and this year, they're 21st in the league. The thing is, though, is that we would hope that the Grizzlies may find a way in terms of how they shot their threes to improve. And they have gotten a bit better. They were getting a bit better towards the end of the first half of the season because they were finding opportunities in catch-and-shoot situations. But the Grizzlies still remain towards the bottom of the league. Right now, on catch-and-shoot opportunities, they are making 36.1% of their threes, 24th in the league. Pull-up percentage, they actually have improved. They were last season, with the bubble included, but at the point where the season was suspended a year ago, they were 26th in the league in pull-up percentage. They're actually now 22nd. The Grizzlies are doing a better job of finding their own shots, and that's considering the struggles of Tyus Jones and Ja Morant, who were two of the more consistent pull-up shooters for the Grizzlies. The thing, though, is that as we've also discussed in the month of February, is it's not just shooting the three or how the Grizzlies shoot the three that needs to improve. It's also their need to defend it. They are getting a bit better, but they certainly have fallen off over the past month from where they were in January. Last season, the Grizzlies allowed 12.8 threes per game. This year, they're actually allowing 13.1, but they're 19th in the league in three-pointers allowed per game. They're 21st in the league, allowing their opponents to make 37.5%. So, but despite league ranks and despite where they were versus where they are now, what it really comes down to is this, is that the Grizzlies are averaging 10.8 three-pointers per game and are shooting 35.5% from three overall this season. So they're making 10.8 threes and they're shooting 35.5% themselves. The Grizzlies are allowing their opponents to make 13.1 threes, and they're allowing their opponents to shoot 37.5% from three. So we're talking about the Grizzlies are at a net negative of nearly 2.5 threes per game so far this season, while their opponents are shooting 2 percentage points better than the Grizzlies are themselves. Though the Grizzlies are finding ways to overcome that through creating turnovers and being able to feature their strengths, at the end of the day, if this Grizzlies team faces a team that is a really good three-point shooting team, it's hard to see the Grizzlies finding consistent success against them. So that's the big reason why the Grizzlies, for them to take the next step, it starts with them improving their production on the perimeter. They've got to close that gap of how many threes they make per game versus how much they're allowing, and also being able to improve their accuracy while making it harder for their opponents to find good looks from three as well. But in the end, though, that is certainly an area of progress. The Grizzlies have certainly improved overall, and it shows in the overall offensive and defensive effectiveness that we've seen this season. Last year, at this time, the Grizzlies were 20th in offensive rating, 15th in defensive rating, and as a result, they had a negative one net rating, which was 15th in the league at this point last year. This year, they're 19th in offensive rating, so their offense has slightly improved. But the big area where they've improved also is defense. They're 8th in the league right now in defense, though their overall defensive rating hasn't changed that much. But the great thing is that because their offense has gone up slightly, this team now, when it was a negative 1.0 net rating, which was good for 15th in the league last year at this time, it's now a positive 0.8. This team's net rating has gone up almost 2 points on the net rating scale, which is a pretty good increase. And it's shown that they're above average when it comes to just how effective they are both offensively and defensively, mainly because of their ability to turn defense into offense. So overall, the Grizzlies certainly are taking steps forward. They certainly are progressing. They validated where their strengths are offensively. They've obviously discovered their identity defensively, so they have areas that they can go to for success on a consistent basis on both ends of the court. Now, it's simply expanding that to be able to produce on the perimeter. And when if the Grizzlies can improve either their ability to shoot the three or defend the three over the second half of the season, that's going to be a big, big development for them to be able to make the playoffs, which we all know this roster desperately wants to do. Don't forget today, later on this morning, we're going to welcome Nick Angstad, half of the Locked On Mavericks podcast, coming in to discuss with me the second half forecast for the Southwest Division, as well as don't forget the first edition of Let's Talk Grizzness tonight via the Locker Room app. Wherever, go to the App Store, download the app on your phone, iPad, Mac, wherever it may be. Join the discussion. We'll be live at 8 o'clock when you download the app, when you sign up, get everything loaded up. You'll see plenty of chats. You'll see Let's Talk Grizzness, and when you click on that room, you'll see me, hopefully many others will be there as well, discussing the Grizzlies and really enjoying conversation about the team that we all love. Again, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSEC on Twitter. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.